Thank you for joining us for today's message from Pastor Carrie Shook. For more information about Carrie Shook Ministries, please visit us online at www.carrieshook.org.
We're in a series that I'm calling Pirates Reclaiming Stolen Treasure. And on Mother's Day, we're going to look at how to dig deep to discover the treasure of self-worth. Because ladies, Satan likes nothing better than to steal away your self-worth and to make you feel like what you do has absolutely no value whatsoever. And I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs 31. It's our key verse. And would you stand in honor of God's word and just read this out loud with me? Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. I want you to underline that phrase, beauty does not last. See, the reason why we lose our self-worth is we compare ourselves to other people and we're looking to the wrong things to give us value. The world says you find your value in how you look. And if you don't look like a super thin airbrushed model on a magazine cover, then you don't have value. And that's ridiculous because you don't find your self-worth in something that can change or be taken away. You don't find your value in something that doesn't last. And looks don't last. Someone gave me a brochure a couple of days ago that was the very first brochure that we sent out as a church 13 years ago. And I looked at the picture of the pastor and I thought, wait a minute, I thought I was the founding pastor of this church. He looked completely different. He had hair. Looks change and never for the better. Have you noticed that? I mean, just go to your high school reunion. Those things are pathetic. All the heroes are now zeros. Everybody's fat and bald, and that's just the ladies. It's really bad. I don't go to those things. If you try to find your value and your worth in looks or in success or performance or whatever it is that can change or be taken away, then your value will be taken away. Your self-worth will be stolen. But if I follow the treasure map of God's word, there are three places I have to stop and dig deep to discover the buried treasure of self-worth. First, I discover the magic in the mundane. So we try to find our value in the big moments of life. Maybe that closing the big deal or that sales presentation or the presentation to the board or maybe receiving that award in front of colleagues. We try to find our value in the big moments of life, but we really find our value in the mundane moments of life. And parents, you need to know that. Moms, you need to hear that. Psalm 127:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. See, the secret is always remembering that your child is a gift from God, that God has given you this child for a short time, and you're to be a steward of them. The child belongs to God, but you're to be a steward as a parent for a short time to prepare them. You're building a child. You're building into the life of your child the love and the values of Jesus Christ. And you have to keep in mind the big picture, the big vision. Vision is the secret. Vision gives meaning to the otherwise meaningless details of our lives. And let's face it, folks, most of the things we do on a daily basis have no meaning unless you place them in the larger context of purpose and vision. Understanding the big picture. Andy Stanley in his book Visioneering says, vision is the difference between filling bags with dirt and building a barrier to save a town from floodwaters. There's nothing glorious about filling bags with dirt, but saving a city, that's another matter altogether. Saving a town gives meaning to the chore of filling bags with dirt. Vision gives meaning to the mundane. And you need to understand that. Especially if you're a mom of a preschooler, because when you're changing that diaper or cleaning up that mess or picking up those toys, it's so easy to start asking, is my life worth anything? Is what I'm doing have any value whatsoever? Am I making a difference at all? But you have to remember the big picture. Vision gives meaning to the mundane when you remember that what you're doing as you're changing that diaper and you're cleaning up that mess and you're doing all those things that no one sees or applauds you for or encourages you to do, when you're doing all those things, you're building a child. and you're building into the life of your child the love of Jesus Christ and the values of God's word, that's what you're doing. And it's the ultimate purpose. Now, when it comes to discovering the magic in the mundane, I have to admit I failed miserably this week. I did my wife's job this week. I did everything that Chris normally does in a week. I did everything that she does. And I have to say the reason why I did it was not because I said, honey, I know Mother's Day's coming up and the gift I want to give to you is I want to do everything you normally do. I want to lighten your load. It's not why I did it. Chris tore a tendon in her leg and she has a cast on her leg. And this happened just a few days ago. And so she couldn't drive for a couple of days and I was doing everything that she normally does. I was shuttling kids all over the place. And guess what I decided? Our family is far too busy. This is crazy. This can't be done. I have a whole new appreciation for her. One night I took one of our kids to Driver's Ed and dropped them off and then picked another one up and then picked up another friend and then came back over and got the one from Driver's Ed and brought them over to cheerleading and then back over to another event. And I was gone from like 5 in the afternoon till 9 driving. I could have driven to Dallas. And I'm going, this is crazy. And I'm going, how do you do it, honey? I mean, I have a whole new appreciation for her. And I think many times, I don't see the magic in the mundane, but she does. In all those little things, she sees how important they are. There's a catchphrase in parenting today called teachable moments. And that is when you see something happen in your daily life, you can take that moment to teach your kids a principle or a life lesson. But I really believe every moment is a teachable moment. Because every moment you're teaching your kids through your actions and your reactions. Every moment you're teaching your kids by your attitude. It's not so much your actions as your attitude in the action. They're always watching you. So mom, what are your kids going to remember about you when they leave the house? Well, she was always stressed. She was freaking out over everything. What are they going to remember about you? She always took time in the middle of the stress for me. She was always there for me. She did all those little things and no one applauded for her or patted her on the back. But you saw how important they were. See, it all counts. And now my wife, Chris, not only sees the magic in the mundane because of the vision that she has, but she always casts vision for our kids. She casts vision for the character qualities and the values that we want them to have in their life when they leave home. And we're always telling our kids that God has something really special in mind for you. We never tell our kids what we want them to go into because we don't care. We just want them to do what God wants. But we say, I know whatever God has for you, it's going to be really special. God has a great plan for your life. Always casting vision for them. I came across this quote from Picasso that really grabbed me. He said, my mother said, if you become a soldier, you'll be a general. If you become a monk, you'll end up as the Pope. He said, but I became a painter and I wound up as Picasso. I think it's not a coincidence that he became one of the greatest painters of all time because his mother painted a vision for him of greatness. And we can paint a vision for our kids of greatness, that God has a great plan for their life, whatever it is that they go into, that God calls them into. But I have to see the magic in the mundane. I have to have a vision. I have to understand that all these little small things that I do are important things. Mom, don't ever forget that. And then secondly, I dig deep to discover the treasure in my troubles. You got to discover the treasure of your troubles because each and every day, every moment of the day, you have a choice. You can choose to focus on the problems or the positives in the problems. Mary, the mother of our Lord, was 9 months pregnant when she had to get on a donkey and ride miles and miles until she got to a filthy animal stable where she delivered her firstborn. Now, she could have focused on all the pain and all the problems, but what did she focus on? Luke 2:19 tells us, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Underline the phrase, treasured up all these things. She focused not on the troubles, but on the treasure. She focused on holding her child. She focused on the shepherds bowing to worship the Christ child. She could have focused on the pain of childbirth and the pain of the travels and having to deliver her baby in a filthy, stinking animal stable, but instead she focused on the treasure of Jesus Christ. And every moment of every day, we have a choice. We can focus on the troubles or we can focus on the treasure in the troubles. And parents, it's time for us to wake up and understand that there'll always be troubles, there'll always be stress. I used to live in the someday syndrome. When we first started the church, I would tell Chris, honey, it's really busy right now getting the church off the ground, but someday when things settle down, I'll spend more time with the kids. Someday, when it's not so stressful, I'll get my priorities in line. And one day I came home about 11 at night and I was still thinking about what I was gonna do the next day and how busy life was. And Chris said, Carrie, don't you understand that someday will never come? That this is life? Don't you understand that our kids are growing up and you're missing it? And it's always going to be stressful. There'll always be urgent things. It's always going to be really busy. It's never going to change. There's no such thing as someday. And you're going to have a lot of regrets one day. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And at that point in time, I just made a decision that I am going to see the treasure in the middle of the troubles, that I am going to focus on my kids and spend time with my kids in the middle of all the stress, because it'll never slow down. It'll always be busy. And some of you are stuck in the someday syndrome, and you need to understand that this is life. This is it right here. And you have to understand that you make time for your kids. You make time to get your priorities in line. Because one day all the troubles will be gone from your home. That's because all the treasure will be gone from your home and out on their own. You know, at our home, it's really crazy right now because we have three teenagers and a 12-year-old. So it's pretty nutty in our home right now. And almost every Saturday night and many Friday nights, we have between 10 and 30 teenagers spend the night. And they're just at our house all the time. And we love that. It's crazy and it's nutty, but we love that. There's a lot of trouble in our house right now. And it's a lot of fun because I always wake them up on Sunday morning to come to church. And I make sure, hey guys, it's time to get up, you know, go to church. And they go to the student ministry and they have a great time. But sometimes I'll go upstairs and there'll be people just all over the floor. And I go, I don't know who these two guys are, you know. Never met them before, you know. And I'm waking them up to go to church. And several weeks ago, I was here at church and my wife was coming to the 11:30 service. And she called me about 11 o'clock and she said, Carrie, she said, you know, you woke everybody up and they went to church, but there's a guy down here eating breakfast. And I don't know who he is. Don't worry about it, honey. Just send him to the 11:30 service, you know. It's just nuts at our house right now. But one day all the trouble will be gone. It won't be long. It's moving really fast. One day all the troubles will be gone because all the treasure will be gone from our home and out on their own. And some of you are going, yeah, you think that's the way it's going to work, but they go out on their own, they bounce right back. Well, enjoy it. Enjoy it. You know, praise God for it. It seems like just the other day that I was buckling my son Ryan into his car seat. And in August, he'll buckle himself in along with all of his belongings and drive off to college. And it's just hard to believe. It just happens so fast. So you have to see the treasure in the troubles because this is life. You have to start living life. You have to get your priorities in line now. Don't wait for the someday syndrome, but see the treasure in your troubles today. And then we also have to teach our kids in the middle of the troubles. We have to teach our kids in the middle of the stress. And it's not easy to do because we're always waiting for those perfect teachable moments, and those don't come. You have to teach them in the middle of the stress, in the middle of the problems. Dan Allender, in his book, How Children Raise Parents, says there are two key questions that every child is asking from the moment they're born. The first one is, am I loved unconditionally? Do you love me? Do you delight in me? Do you want to spend time with me? Will you love me even if I fail? Am I loved unconditionally? And the second question they're always asking is, and can I get my own way? And you have to answer those questions continuously and sometimes simultaneously, because they're always asking those two questions. They're asking, am I loved unconditionally? And can I get my own way? And I have to answer a resounding yes to the first question, not with my words, but with the time that I spend with them, the way I connect to them, and with my hugs, with my actions. Yes, I love you unconditionally. And I have to answer the second question with a resounding no, you can't get your own way. I love you too much to let you get your own way. This is very difficult and confusing for parents because many times your kids are asking those two questions at the same time. For example, one of my children may say, I don't want to do my homework right now. I'm worn out. It's been a tough day at school. I don't want to do my homework right now. And I have to look deep in their heart to see what they're really saying. They may be asking, will you love me even if I fail this test? Do you only love me when I succeed? Do you only love me if I make you look good? That's what they may be asking. But at the same time, they may be asking, and can I get my own way? And so I have to answer both of those questions at the same time, and it's very confusing. I don't always do a good job at it. But I come up and I say, I love you, and give them a hug. I love you unconditionally. I love you no matter what. You can bomb out on this test, and I'm going to love you. There's nothing you can do to make your mom and dad love you any more or any less than we do right now. We love you unconditionally, but you need to do your homework right now. Because you need to learn discipline, and not to make me look good, but for your own sake, because that's what you're going to need one day. You see, every child desires love and rules. Every child desires love and rules. Now, I know some teenagers out here are going, you don't really get me. You don't really understand me because I do not desire rules. But deep down, every child desires love and rules. Every teenager desires love and rules. And if a child doesn't find love and rules at home, they'll find it somewhere. That's why a lot of kids join gangs today, because there's acceptance and there's rules. Every child needs that. And parents are always shocked when they try to set up boundaries and their kids don't like it and the kids get mad and the kids rebel against it. And they're always shocked. And it's like, what do you mean? They're teenagers. They're going to push against those boundaries and push and push to see if they're solid. And if they find they're solid, it makes them feel secure. But they're going to push. That's their job. They're teenagers. That's what they're supposed to do. Don't be surprised. A lot of parents go, well, I don't want my teenager to hate me. Well, if you want them to respect you and really love you, you'll set those rules. And there'll be times when they hate you. There'll be times when they don't like you very much because you set those rules and you stuck to them. You know, I see sometimes parents answering the first question, are you loved unconditionally, with a no in their actions. They don't spend time with their kids. It shows that work's more important than their kids. They don't know how to connect to their kids and hug their kids. And so they answer the first question with no, I don't love you unconditionally. But they answer the second question with yes, you can do whatever you want because I don't have time to deal with you. And that destroys the self-image of a child. Destroys it completely because every child needs love and rules. But then I see other parents who answer the first question with a yes, I love you, but they answer the second question also with a yes, you can have your own way because I'm too tired to deal with you right now, or I want to be a cool parent who's your friend and I want you to like me. But you know, I see this in our area all the time. I see parents dispensing love through gifts, or I see parents that are too worn out to step up to the plate and be the parent and say no, or parents who are more interested in their kids thinking they're cool. Hey, your kids have enough friends. They don't need another buddy. They need a parent. They need mom or dad to step up to the plate and be the parent. And I see it every year at this time around prom where parents say, well, I rented them a party bus, gave them the alcohol so they can get drunk, and at least they won't drink and drive. I think I'm being a pretty good parent. I'm going, are you crazy? The message you're sending your kids? I think many parents are more concerned that their kids' friends think they're cool than they are concerned about their own kids. I think it's time, parents, we step up and we step up to the plate and we be the parent. Your kids have enough friends. They need a parent. They need someone who'll say, I love you unconditionally, and will show it with their actions, but say, no, you can't have your own way. I love you too much. Well, on the other hand, some parents answer the second question with a consistent no. They have rules and they stick to them and boundaries and there's discipline, but they don't know how to answer the first question with a yes. They don't know how to connect with their kids or hug their kids or spend time with their kids. And kids growing up in those families usually rebel against the rules because it's rules with no love, and they just rebel. I know some of you as parents, though, are thinking, you know, Carrie, I've tried to do everything I can for my kids, and I have a kid going the wrong direction right now. Whether the kid is 16 or 30, you got a kid going the wrong direction right now. And you've tried to answer those questions right, and there's no perfect parent, but you've tried to do the best you can. You've answered the first, yes, I love you unconditionally, and the second, no, you can't have your own way. You've tried to do your best. Well, I've got encouraging words for you today. The only perfect parent also has rebellious kids. Look what it says in Isaiah 1:2. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The only perfect parent, Father God, has rebellious kids. So he knows what you're going through. He knows what it's like to have your heart torn out by a child who's going the wrong direction. He knows what it's like to toss and turn at night as you pray for your child who's going through struggles. He understands it. He gets it. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 56:8, you have seen me tossing and turning through the night. You've collected all my tears and preserved them in your bottle. You've recorded every one in your book. Nothing will keep you up at night like your kids when they're going through a struggle. And it may not be much to anyone else, but if it's your kid, it means a lot to you. If it's your kid, then it's important to you. God knows, God cares, and he has the power to do something about it. Let me just tell you, if you have a child right now who may be 15, 16, 18, or 30 or 40, and they're going the wrong direction and they're rebelling against God, don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. God can work a miracle. Don't ever give up. But it always bothers me when pastors say, if you do everything God's word says, your kids will turn out perfect. No, not necessarily. Every child has a choice. Every kid has a choice of whether or not they're going to follow God. And so I just want to give encouragement to you today. Keep praying. God still has a plan. Don't give up. And you need other people around you. All moms need other people around you. You need encouragement. Well, then there's a third thing. To get back my self-worth, I have to discover the weight of my worth. Discover the weight of your worth. Now, we have this love-hate relationship with scales. We get on them all the time, but we hate what they show us. And now everything is about percentage of body fat. It's not just how much you weigh, it's how much body fat you have. And there's all these skin calipers and tools to measure your percent of body fat. Author Ken Davis says he's come up with a new and inexpensive method for measuring percentage of body fat. He says this, and I quote, "Next time you get out of the shower, grab a stopwatch and stand in front of a full-length mirror totally naked. Start the watch and stamp your foot on the floor as hard as you can. When stuff stops moving, punch the watch and check the time." And there you have it. He says, "I'm down to 2 days, 3 hours, and 6 minutes. How about you?" So I'll go home today and try that and feel really bad. Moms, you need to get off of the world's scales because the world is always measuring you. They're always comparing you to those stick-thin airbrushed models on the magazine covers or in television or in movies. You need to get off the world scales. You need to get on God's scales, because when you get on God's scales, you'll see the weight of your worth. The word glory in the Hebrew is the word kabod, and it literally means weightiness, substance. The glory of God is weightiness. It's heavy. It's heavy stuff. And the glory of God is in your life. When you step on the scales of God, then you feel the glory of God because you were created in his image and you have so much value. Weight. The weight of your worth. And then you need to stop looking into the world's mirrors. See, we have this love-hate relationship with scales and mirrors. We're always looking at the mirror, but we don't like what it reflects to us. Well, you need to stop looking at the world's mirror and comparing yourself to everyone else, ladies, and look into the eyes of Jesus Christ and see reflected back to you total, unconditional love and acceptance. And see Jesus Christ smiling at you, and you'll see reflected in his eyes your value, because he thinks you're worth dying for. That's how valuable you are. Who cares what anyone else thinks when the God of the universe, the God who created you, says you are valuable. You're so valuable, I gave my life for you. And when you get off the world scales and stop looking into the world's mirror, then you'll be able to be like the Proverbs 31 woman. In verse 18, it says, she senses the worth of her work and is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. Underline, senses the worth of her work. What you do is so valuable. And then in Proverbs 31, 28, it says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. It's so important for you to praise and encourage your mom. For those of you whose mothers have gone to be with the Lord, then the way you live your life will honor them. Those of you who have mothers living, tell them how much you love them. Praise them. You know, the Bible says, if you don't honor your mother, you won't be blessed. The Bible also says, husbands, if you don't honor your wife, your prayers will not get answered. So important to honor. The word appreciate literally means to raise in value. And if you've ever bought a home, you probably know what appreciation means. If you've ever bought a car, you know the meaning of depreciation. But I appreciate someone, and when I do that, I raise their value. When you appreciate your mom, when you appreciate your wife, you raise their value. You get to determine their value. And I think it's so important on this Mother's Day that we make sure we appreciate the people in our lives and we raise their value. If you're not sure that you've ever come into a relationship with a God who created you through His Son, Jesus Christ, then just pray this prayer right now. Just say, Jesus, I need You. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and make me new on the inside. As best as I know how, I give my life to You. If you've prayed that prayer, Christ came into your life, and He'll never leave you. He'll always be with you, and it's the most important thing you could ever do. Call us right now and let us know that you did that you prayed that prayer, and we'll send you more information on how you can grow in your new walk in Christ.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Kerry Shook. For more information about Kerry Shook Ministries and available media resources, please visit us online at www.kerryshook.org.